Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Chocolate Lady 64 here. And I'm hoping everyone is enjoying their Thursday. I know right now all over United States it is cold. C-O-L-D, cold. It's cold here. Right now it's 31 degrees here in Louisiana. So, I know where you guys are, it's just as cold, or not cold, or more colder, that is. Okay. Again, I'm going to probably say Happy New Year for probably up until April. Happy New Year to everyone. I'm hoping everyone's year is starting off with a good start. I hope each and every one of you guys are enjoying yourselves. I hope each and every one of my listeners and each and every one of my Blog Talk partners out there who have their own radio shows are being very productive, and I'm doing a great job this year, and I hope they have great shows this year, as well as I'm hoping my shows be great. Okay, first of all, I want to do some recapping on some stuff. Let's talk about what happened in the news today. I didn't watch all of the news. I watched bits and pieces of it today. Not that much. I heard about they had memorial services today for the young girl who passed away or who got shot in Arizona. And I also heard that Miss Gifford opened up her eyes today, which is a great sign, and I just hope and pray that she recovers fully. And I feel sorry for the person who did that. I really do feel sorry for that man, that young man, because the rest of his life is gone, you know. I just hope this opens the eyes to a lot of stuff that we're saying out there and how it's impacting our young people, especially when you have a lot of young, angry, dissatisfied people that are doing crazy stuff like what they're doing, okay? Maybe this is a wake-up call. Maybe it's not. We won't find out until, I guess, it happens again. All the bickering, the back and forth, and the Tea Party this, and all these people with this anger all built up inside them because everything is not going the way that they want it to go, we need to get a grip on that, okay, as individuals, okay? Talk about the weather. That's mainly what I picked up today in the news. I don't think I paid too much more to the news today. Matter of fact, today I did something I hadn't done in a while. I completely turned off my TV. I keep my TV on all the time. But today I kind of turned it off. It helped out a lot because I could concentrate on other things that I was trying to accomplish. So, plus, I had to step away for a little bit. And to kind of regenerate yourself, you know, sometimes you have to do that. So, getting that out the way, again, I hope everyone is having a great night. I hope you guys are in, keeping warm, snuggled up to your loved ones, playing with the kids or whatever, putting them to bed or whatever you got to do. But I'm hoping you guys are having a great time doing that, just that. Okay, tonight's show is going to be on something that is very, very dear to my heart. Or when I say that, it's because it's something that I'm dealing with. It is called fibromyalgia, and I'm quite sure you guys have heard this. They've done a lot of studies on this. And it has a lot of confusing symptoms. It has, there's no cure for it right now. There's really nothing there's attempts to treat it, but there's not a real definite treatment for it. So I'm going to kind of lay what it's out. And this is actually a prelude to the book that will be written later on this year, hopefully, by a group of women who suffer from fibromyalgia, a group of vets that suffer from fibromyalgia, including myself. So I'm just going to kind of give you guys a little heads up on what fibromyalgia is if you're not familiar with it. Okay, first of all, we're going to talk about where did the word fibromyalgia come from. Okay, it's saying that it's Latin, fibro is Latin for fibrous tissue. The Greek word myo, which is myal, it's for muscle. Then the other part also is a Greek part, is the alga, which means pain. When you put it together, it means muscle and connective tissue pain, also referred to as FM or FMS. This is a medical disorder characterized by chronic widespread pain and adrenal, a heightened and painful response to pressure. Fibromyalgia symptoms are not restricted to pain, leading to the use of alternative term fibromyalgia syndrome for the condition. Other symptoms include debilitating fatigue, sleep disturbances, and joint stiffness. Some patients may also report difficulty with swallowing, bowel and bladder abnormalities, numbness and tingling, and cognitive dysfunction. Fibromyalgia frequently comorbid with psychiatric conditions such as depression and anxiety and stress-related disorders such as post-traumatic stress disorder. Not all people with fibromyalgia experience all associated symptoms. Fibromyalgia is estimated to affect 2 to 4% of the population, with female-to-male incident ratio of approximately 9 to 1. So, let me tell you about the two points we just made, several points that was made here. We found out that fibromyalgia, which I didn't know was called FM or FMS, we know what it is, how it makes you feel, and that it has something to do with your psychiatric disorder simply because you have PTSD, anxiety, and depression. Now, I don't know if you guys ever remembered, and if you didn't watch it, you probably don't remember it. If you're my age, you would. If you don't, then you're a little bit younger than me. There, I used to love to watch The Golden Girls, okay? And there was an episode with Bea Arthur on it. And Bea Arthur kept going to the doctors, and she was hurting. And the doctor kept telling her she was crazy. That was then, back then, fibromyalgia, which we didn't know then. But I remember that episode when I talk about what I go through and what people that are related, that actually have the same symptoms and have the same condition I have. I remember them talking, you know, saying, yeah, I remember that episode. So that's what made me think, you know, she had it back then. Because it's such a... because it affects your psyche, they're saying that a lot of this could be in our minds. And if there's no way for them to directly pinpoint how can we test somebody to say that they naturally have it. There's no way they can do that. So that's what makes it so hard to be diagnosed, and it's so hard to treat. They have Lyrica out. They have Tramadol, and they have Gabapentin, which after I did some research, I found out that the medicine called Gabapentin, which is a nerve medicine, it really doesn't affect the fibromyalgia. It's just for the nerves. So you have to know the symptoms. And like it says, it's muscle. It's like, I can tell you, I can describe it to you. Fibromyalgia is like, somebody is taking something metal and tapping against your nerves, and you can feel each and every one of those taps, okay? And it's also like your joints, somebody is standing around you, and they're literally pulling you apart. That's the pain that radiates from your head to your toe. And there's two types of characteristics of fibromyalgia. They have like what you call trigger points. Okay, the trigger points are usually They're right around the neck area, right on the shoulder. They're right at the back of your neck, right at the beginning of your buttock, and right up under your buttock and your knee, and also the front forearm, your both of your forearms, front forearm, right where your elbow bends at. Those are the trigger points. Whenever you touch those and it's very, very painful, that's something you need to look into with your doctor. And if you're always hurt, if you're hurting all the time, if you have this gnawing feeling all the time, you need to make sure you get your doctor to look at it. Because the thing with fibromyalgia and the symptoms are so, it's crazy, but they mimic. Let me tell you the different diseases that they mimic, and that's why it's so hard to diagnose. Okay, it says here that, first let's talk about the, let's talk about the symptoms, first of all. Let's get to the symptoms first. Okay, first the symptoms, the body ache, chronic facial muscle pain or aching, the fatigue, the irritable bowel syndrome, memory difficulties and cognitive difficulties, which if you haven't, you know it. Okay, multiple tender areas, and which we were just talking about the points, the trigger points. Knees, the numbness and tingling, the palpitations, reduced exercise tolerance, sleep disturbances, tension, or migraine headaches. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that each and every one of these symptoms you have, you can have it. I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you that. I only can tell you what I have. And majority of these symptoms I do have, okay? Let's see. Let's talk about what it mimics. You're going to be surprised at the diseases that this fibromyalgia mimics. Fibromyalgia mimics cancer, cervical and low back degenerative disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, depression, HIV infection, hypothyroidism, irritable bowel syndrome, Lyme disease, rheumatoid arthritis, and sleep disorders. Now, isn't that amazing how if you've been checked for all of these and they all are not what you have, but because it mimics these different symptoms, it is very hard to diagnose fibromyalgia, and they're trying their best to find a, I don't want to say a cure, but they're trying to work on a treatment to pinpoint it. It's hard for them to do it because of the symptoms, the underlying symptoms. And you can have either one or two of these symptoms and those trigger points, and believe it or not, you can be diagnosed with fibromyalgia. Now, it affects not only your body, it also affects your psyche. And I said that earlier, your psychological. Depression can trigger the pain. Anxiety can trigger the pain. PTSD can trigger the pain. And, you know, we've talked about PTSD before, and I'm going to have to bring that up in order for all this to come together. So we will be visiting PTSD again. Fibromyalgia, I even researched the idea that there's close to 300 books that's been written about fibromyalgia. But my problem is, these people who wrote these books, are they people who actually have symptoms or are diagnosed with fibromyalgia, or are they doctors, or are there people who's making up, you know, just trying, I don't know. But it hits my heart because I know what it does to you. I feel it. I know how it makes you feel. And, you know, you're telling people all the time, you're hurting, and they don't want to hear it. They think you're complaining, but really, be honest with you, if you're not complaining, you literally hurt. And it's like, you know, like just before, I'll tell you another thing you can kind of, another symptom that you can, you know, when just before you get a cold and your body aches, you can feel it from head to toe that you start aching. That's what fibromyalgia feels like.
And this is not an aching that, you know, you take your medicine, you get better, and you go on. Well, try dealing with that all the time, 24/7, all the time. That's what it feels like. I mean, that's how it is. That's that aching, gnawing feeling on your bones. That's how it feels on a daily basis constantly. And even with the medications you take, because they don't have a pinpointed medication other than Lyrica, if I'm not mistaken, and then I think Tramadol, because those are the only two medicines that you can really say that can make a difference, some people say the Tramadol don't work. And then they put you on antidepressants to keep you from getting stressed out so that it doesn't get it inflamed or get it to, you know, it keeps it calm if you're on an antidepressant medicine because it keeps it calm. But it's not keeping it calm. It really isn't. It simmers it a little, but it's still there. You know, you still feel it. And because of that, it's frustrating to doctors that they can't find something that can really pinpoint on getting rid of it. It's something that we will have to deal with for the rest of our lives. That's how it is. And you never thought that you would be going through that. I mean, come on, you know. You never thought that you would be having something that nobody can do anything about, and you have it for the rest of your life. You just have to learn how to cope with it is basically what they're basically telling us, okay? It's something that you have to cope with. Another thing is also with fibromyalgia, you get this morning stiffness, and I'm saying when you wake up in the morning, it feels like you've been beaten up. Somebody beat the hell out of you in your sleep. And you're waking up and you're feeling it from head to toe, okay? And it's called morning stiffness, okay? And you have to, you know, take your medicine, you know, and try to get up and move around. But it's a weighing on you that it's so hard to, you know, make that move to get up and be motivated to get up out your bed and get yourself ready to go. It takes so much out of you. So that's why I can say it from me dealing with it myself and how, you know, coping with it on an everyday basis, it's really, really hard. When it gets cold, it gets real bad. And because it mimics rheumatoid arthritis, okay, you have to keep it in mind that it mimics rheumatoid arthritis. And you know what they say about rheumatoid arthritis, you know, it really gets you when it's cold. Well, this hits you when it's cold, hot, whatever. It hits you. It's always there. That's why I'm telling you guys, it's so hard to pinpoint it. There's another thing that's called fibro fall. And what that is when you can't remember stuff. Remember I told you it affects your memory. I've been diagnosed with short-term memory because of how it affects in the way that, you know, people can tell me to do something. If I don't write it down, I don't remember it. You know, my family fussed at me like, I did tell you that. I know I told you that. But I don't remember you telling me that. So I have to find myself. I got post-its all over the place so that I can remember certain things. And, you know, I'm not telling you guys this to feel sorry. I'm just telling you guys to educate you guys on how important it is to take care of your body. Know what's going on with yourself. You feel something that's not. I'm not saying run to the doctor every time you say, boo, you know. I'm saying if you feel something that's been going on with you, lingering in your system and your body for so long and you've ignored it, I'm telling you guys, get some help. Get some help no matter what. Get you some help. Get somebody to at least test you for something so that you can get it before it gets out of hand. You know, you go years and years with this, and you don't know what it is. You don't know why you hurt. You know, you can tell everybody, but you don't know why you hurt. Nobody wants, you know, you have to remind yourself, nobody wants to hear me complain all the time. But you know how you feel, and you don't have any, and you know, it's depressing and it's stressful because nobody wants to hear what you have to say. So that makes it 10 times hard to deal with. when it comes to that. Now, I'm looking here where it says, let's talk about where it started. Now, I had one person, it was one doctor, he kind of teed me off with his answer to the idea that fibromyalgia is just something that we all go through. And it's just a way of life. You're going to have stress. You're going to have depression in your life. You know, you're going to have all these things going on in your life. So, you know, hey, so what? You know, move on. But don't try to make it sound like it's such an important disease or disorder. You know, that made me mad simply because, you know what, do you have it? Do you deal with it? No, you don't. You don't. You don't have it. So you can't make that decision or make that saying that we're not hurting or that it's all in our head. It's not all in our head. And to me, that's what it made me feel like he was saying, that we're just making all this up. You know, that, hey, so what? You know, you'll be all right. And that's not true. That is far from true. So that kind of really, you know, got me kind of down a little bit for him to say that. I'm looking at some of the medicines. I'm sorry, you guys. I was looking for what he said about it. And another thing about this, this is what I wanted to tell you guys about. It says right here, it says fibromyalgia continues to be a disputed diagnosis. Many members of the medical community do not consider fibromyalgia disease because of lack of abnormalities on the physical examination in the absence of objective diagnostic tests. You know, there's no test for this. So it frustrates them because they can't find out where it comes from. So, of course, they're going to say, oh, gosh, you know. It says, several controversial issues exist with regard to fibromyalgia that range from questions regarding the validity of the disorder as a clinical entity to issues regarding primary pathological and potential existence of fibromyalgia subtypes. According to Cedric Wolf, this guy right here, highly cited fibromyalgia researcher and lead author of a 1990 paper that first defined ACR, fibromyalgia classification criteria. The large majority of physicians, sociologists, and medical historians are skeptical about the validity of fibromyalgia as a clinical entity. Some call fibromyalgia a non-disease and an over-inclusive and ultimately meaningless label. Wolf now questions the validity of fibromyalgia as a disease. He considers fibromyalgia a physical response to stress, depression, and economic and social anxiety, and believes the associated symptoms are a normal part of everyday life. In 2009, he wrote, "The tendency to respond with distress to physical and mental stresses is part of human condition." Wolf and other opponents of the fibromyalgia concept say that labeling fibromyalgia as a disease simply legitimizes patient sickness behavior and slowing the recovery and harming them. Okay. Now, I totally disagree with him, but he has a right, he's a doctor, to say this. That is part of everyday life, everyday stresses. You know, we're going to go through this, you know. But because I'm quite sure he doesn't have it, he can make these assumptions and write these brilliant papers. Okay. It also says in a study of 100 individuals identified as having fibromyalgia, physical functioning decreased slightly over time. And individuals who had been diagnosed earlier had larger numbers of reported symptoms and greater severity. However, there was also statistically significant improvement in satisfaction with the following classification. The authors of the study concluded the fibromyalgia label does not have a meaningful adverse effect on clinical outcome over the long term. The validity of fibromyalgia as a unique clinical entity is also a matter of contention because no discrete boundary separates syndromes such as SMS, chronic fatigue syndrome, irritable bowel syndrome, or chronic muscular headache. Because of this considerable symptomatic overlap, some researchers have proposed that fibromyalgia and the other medically unexplained syndromes be referred to as collectively as functional somatic syndrome. Okay? Now, because we all mixed in there with all those other ones, you see how they're confused. They're confused. And despite what they say about people getting better, maybe some people do get better with it. Not for sure, but according to this paper, they say they do. Now, I want to talk about the treatment, okay? The treatments, it says in mild cases, symptoms may go away when stress is decreased or lifestyle changes are implemented. It says a combination of treatments, including medications, patient education, physical therapy, and counseling are usually recommended. Many fibromyalgia sufferers have found support groups helpful. And I totally agree with that because I'm in a support group and it does help out. And I just started this support group. Okay. Let's see. Somebody wrote a paper back in 1970. I think it was 1977 on fibromyalgia. That's when they first started paying attention to it. And, let me see. I think it was 1970. If I can find that. Well, anyway, I can remember one of the doctors wrote a paper on fibromyalgia, and it started like back in 1970, and then from 1970, somebody else wrote something in 1989, and then in 1990, that's when it was very prevalent, and they really, really started paying attention to it. As you know, 90% of women get this. Okay, they said 9 to 1 with the ratio, but it says 90% of women suffer from fibromyalgia. It usually first occurs between the ages of 20 and 60, which is so fascinating because, matter of fact, one of our members of our group, she's only 21, if I'm not mistaken, and it's amazing that she's that young. Because this is a syndrome, it's poorly, because it's poorly understood, and that's what we were talking about earlier, and difficult to recognize, it is not unusual for many years to elapse between the onset of symptoms and the diagnosis. Fortunately, more doctors have recently become aware of the collection of symptoms that characterize fibromyalgia. Now, I know for myself, I just kept telling my doctor how much my body ached from head to toe all the time. And I told him this repeatedly. It took him forever to diagnose me with it. Okay. I was fed Motrin. Okay. Motrin is supposed to fix everything. So I was fed a lot of Motrin back then. And I just continued to do my everyday life. Never knew that everything that I was doing was affecting it. I just kept doing because I had to keep doing. And when I finally just kind of quieted myself down and realized that I really do have some issues. Then finally, I went to another doctor, and another doctor is the one who actually diagnosed me with it. And I had to take some time off from work because I was so stressed out. And the more I was stressed out, the more sicker I was getting. So I had to take off of work. And, you know, that helped me out a lot because of that. And I'm so glad I did because then I could start learning about what's going on with me. It's just amazing how, you know, you think you're the only one who's going through all these changes and you're not, you know. They want to say that it's with old age, the older you get, you're going to go through these aches and pains and stuff. I understand that. I'm not disputing that. And my body has to change because I'm getting older as a woman. You know, we go through change and all that. But
there's something else going on. You can feel that there's something else going on in your body if you pay attention enough to your body. Women, I'm telling you guys, pay attention. Pay attention to your body, no matter how much. Pay attention to it. Sometimes our husband can make you feel like crap, you know. Oh, you always complaining about this, you always complaining about you. Right now, there might not be a good support system for you, okay, because they're not understanding what you're going through. You need to get somebody who listens to you and understands what you're going through. You might need to take that person with you to the doctor so that, they can support you whenever the diagnosis or whatever else is going on with you. Now that the doctors have been paying attention to it and they're actually studying fibromyalgia and the chronic fatigue syndrome and all this, now that they're doing this, so it should be more, it should be easier for you guys opposed to how it was for us. It should be easier for them to diagnose it and easier for them to treat you for it. The quicker you get treated, the better you feel. Now, what amazes me is because you have fatigue, you have the sleepless nights, because you don't get good sleep if you don't, if you're not drugged up. You just don't, because I mean you're hurting all the time. So if you got your medicine in you, you can get some good sleep. Because it affects your sleep, that's what's so bad about it. Because you know if you're not taking your medicines, or if you're just having a time when the medicines are not working, everything is not working, you know, you don't get a chance to sleep. Another thing is with that pain management, physical therapy, all of these things are supposed to aid in helping you cope with this. It doesn't make it go away. It aids in coping with the fibromyalgia. Let your doctor, once he's made his diagnosis about the fibromyalgia, see that he gets you with pain management. I mean, rehabilitation, rehab meds. I mean, whatever they can do to at least help you. I also heard that yoga helps a lot. I haven't done it. You know, the stretching of the muscles. When you go through rehab, most of the time they have like what's called a tense unit, and it's supposed to touch the nerves and all that. I heard that that's not always good. I don't know because I haven't tried that yet. They've got all kinds of things that they want you to try, but they're not all definite, giving away all the pain. I mean, it doesn't get rid of everything. Now, some people, like I said earlier, some people have been able to subside the pain and being able to function and everything, but there's a lot of us out there who can't. And you know when you're sick, that stress. You know that bothers you when you're sick because you want to know what's going on with you and you can't do nothing about it and nobody can do nothing about it and you're just in pain all the time. That's a terrible feeling, to always be in pain. You know, it's a very bad feeling. And no matter what you do, it's just not, you know, it's not enough and it's not doing the trick. And then you find yourself doing other things. You find yourself smoking. You find yourself drinking because, you know, it numbs the pain, you know. The pain can be numbed if it can't be anything else. It can be numbed. And that's what you're trying to do. You're numbing the pain. So don't find yourself taking up any of those bad habits. That's not good. We talked about that. Let's see, there's another point. Okay, another thing I wanted to talk about was the link. I'm trying to figure out. And it's so amazing. This is a special report from Johns Hopkins, okay, Medicine. And it's called The Guide to Fibromyalgia. And it didn't really have that much to say to me. I mean, just a couple of pages, maybe 4 or 5 pages. And that just goes to show you, I mean, this is all they can tell us about fibromyalgia. Okay? About 4 or 5 pages. That's basically what they can tell us about fibromyalgia. Now, I was noticing they have diets, and they have recipes for people who have fibromyalgia. They have all these different things. I don't know if they work. I didn't buy the book. I was just looking at them. I don't know. Maybe I could try. But according to what the doctors say, there's actually, you know, take the medicine, do some, you know, physical therapy. You know, you have to get psychological counseling because it helps out with the stress part. They don't even have an exercise for people with fibromyalgia because of the achiness, okay? They're saying getting people to exercise is a good treatment for it, but you take a person who's hurting all the time. Exercise is not on your list of trying to feel good, okay? Especially, like for me, I walk every day. I get up and I walk every day. I walk maybe 2 to 3 times a day at different times a day. I walk. That is all right. I'm not saying it's a cure for it, but I can stretch those muscles that are hurting, okay? It helps a little bit, but then again, you know, it's still there. You know it's there, okay? That's my exercise. They don't have a specific exercise that we can do for fibromyalgia because of the trigger points, to be honest with you. You have your neck, your arms, your legs, the back of your thighs, your knees, and I already have knee problems on top of everything else. So that compounds everything else that I have to deal with. And also you have to remember, too, because fibromyalgia affects the muscles, like I said, my knee pain contributes to my fibromyalgia. It makes it worse. I have very bad heel pain. That all of that connects to, you know, those are parts of your body that muscles and cartilage and all that actually is being affected by the constant pain. Okay? I don't want you guys to get the impression that, oh, I'm just so, you know, I can't do anything. Believe me, I'm functional, okay? I wouldn't be able to do this show if I was not functional. I try to make sure because I don't give people the impression, oh, it's for me. You would never, if you saw me, you would never think that I have this because I don't wear it on my face. I don't wear it on my sleeve. You don't know it. And I'm glad you don't. You know it now because I'm telling you. But if you see me up front, up close or in person, excuse me, you wouldn't know that I suffer like that because I try not to let everybody know that I'm suffering. Now I have everybody who knows that I have a syndrome, but you don't know that I suffer from it. And you don't, you know. Which, you know, if you know, if you don't, it doesn't matter. I'm just trying to get this information out to you guys. Okay, I'm looking at this saying home remedies. They were saying how you can take a warm bath, apply heat to relieve the pain. They can also take advantage of mechanical aids such as telephone headsets, jar openers, and voice-activated computer software. In some cases, people may need to make changes at the workplace to improve the symptoms. Oh, okay, and that's something to think about. Once you're diagnosed with it, because of what it does, you might need to, if you're a working person, I mean, an employer, whatever you need, you might need to let your employer know so that they can modify your desk area or, you know, wherever you work at, your workstation, so that it'll be comfortable for you to be effective while you're at work. Because it's not to the point where, now, it can get you to where you don't want to get up and you can stay in the bed for days. Now, it can get you like that. But you want to prevent that from happening by, doing what you call preventive maintenance, and that's, you know, doing the exercise and taking your medicines when you're supposed to, you know, do the pain reliever, whatever it does to make you kind of subside the pain. The pain never goes away, and I'm going to tell you guys that. It does not completely go away.
you can get it to where you can tone it down, but it's still there. Now, you guys, we're 19 minutes into the show, and I didn't even give you the number to call in on. I'm sorry. It's 347-677-1749. I'm just so passionate about this conversation that I just forgot to tell you guys that you can call in. Now, what I find myself doing with mine, especially with my hands, I find myself rubbing my hands and stretching my hands all the time. I type a lot on the computer, so I find myself shaking my hands and stretching my hands because they start to ache. You know, when it goes to the point where it's radiating down your shoulder, you know, into your arms and your fingers, you know, I find myself stretching my hands all the time, trying to keep it moving. You know, it's to get your mind off of it. To be honest with you, I try to keep my mind off my pain. It's hard, but I try to do that. Okay? I don't want to make it sound like it's all about me. I'm only relating to this because I do suffer from it. I do have this. And that's the reason why I'm trying to bring it to the forefront for you guys. Men do not suffer from this as much as women, and I told you 90% of women have fibromyalgia, suffer from fibromyalgia. For some reason, we get it quicker or faster than men do. I don't know why, but we do. And if men do have it, they're not going to tell anybody because men don't talk about their health, and that's why they die. Excuse me, I'm just being point blank. That's why they die, because they keep their mouth shut about their health. They don't want nobody to know that they're... See, people connect sickness with weakness, and it's not being weak, okay? Just because you're sick, you're not weak, okay? There's something in your body that's not working, and that's what makes you sick, okay? And that happens. It's like with your car. There's something in the car that makes it not run. It's sick. So what you do is you try to fix it. You take it to the mechanic, and the mechanic is the doctor, and he fixes it and gets it back on the road. Okay? And that's how it is with your body. You go to the doctor, and you check it out, make sure it's nothing detrimental, that you're going to live, and you get it taken care of. I mean, you take time out to take your car to the doggone shop to get it fixed. Why can't you take your body to the shop, which is the hospital or the doctor's office, and get it fixed? I'm trying to figure out what's the difference. It costs almost as much as to get a car fixed as it does for you to go to the doctor. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm just fussing at the men right now. But anyway, we got that out the way, talking about that. Then let's talk about obesity. Now, they're saying that obesity is linked to fibromyalgia. Now, I want to ask a question to you guys. Now, if I'm a little overweight, I'll say I'm 100 because, you know, these numbers they give for obesity just amazes me, okay? We don't call it obese. We call it healthy. Say you're 180 pounds, okay, at 5'5". That's considered obese, okay? Well, I think it's either morbid or obese. I can't remember which one is which. Your BMI is over 30. Okay, that's your body mass index. Now, on top of that, you have fibromyalgia. Now, you tell me, how are you going to do exercise when you're constantly in pain? Just a question. You tell me what exercises I can do without feeling like... if I don't stop this exercise, I'm going to pass out. Okay? Because according to this, they're saying that it makes you hurt more to exercise, and it causes weakness. Because you're attempting to do something that's supposed to be good for you, which is kind of confusing, because they want you to exercise for the pain, but if you're obese, you can't move like everybody else can. So, you know, either way it goes, it's like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. You're hurting, you're going to hurt regardless. So what do you do with a situation like that? You know? What do you do? Okay. Okay, it says a study reported in December 2010 issue of the Journal of Pain said that the poor sleep quality affecting factor for shorter sleep duration in general population according to the study. Study participants had suffered from fibromyalgia for an average of 12.7 years and were on an average of 45 years of old with a mean weight of 184 pounds. Only 47 of the 215 patients had body mass indexes in the normal range with four below normal. In addition to the tender point exam, the participants underwent a home sleep assessment in physical vitality, naproxen, an assistant professor, performance test that included treadmill walking, leg raises, standing push-ups, and range of motion flexors. Valtteri Nabado, an assistant professor of radiology at Harvard Medical School, who was not connected to the study, said the link between obesity and greater pain in fibromyalgia creates a vicious cycle because the pain poses a barrier to exercise, which could reduce the weight. It's like I just explained to you. It says, I think the study is interesting in that it was a larger sample size than the authors studied in the past, said Napado. Also an assistant in neuroscience at the Massachusetts General Hospital, it needs to be recognized that there are these subpopulations in fibromyalgia and obesity is another burden that needs to be dealt with. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Okufu said study participants were not asked which condition they had developed first, obesity or fibromyalgia, but noted that each one of the risk factors for the other. Researchers also noted that the study did not determine casualty and that the definition of obesity was based on the BMI, which doesn't take into account the age or ethnic differences. I think the study ended up bringing more questions than answers. Both Ofuku and Nabado said a multi-pronged approach of treating obese fibromyalgia patients, including medication, proper nutrition, and exercise, needs to be incorporated to maximize symptom relief. Other researchers suggested that weight loss may bring some relief from fibromyalgia symptoms. The researchers noted, if they're not able to walk because of pain, we can devise upper body exercise regimens that are not difficult for them to do. Now, let me say something to that. Now, even with the weight loss, the fibromyalgia doesn't disappear. Do not get that impression that it disappears with the weight loss. Okay? It's not going to. It might decrease the pain some, but what? Think about the pain scale, 0 to 10. I would rather have 0, which means no pain at all, than to have 1, 2, or 3. And I'm skinny as a rail. You know what I'm saying? You know? And because they didn't take into consideration when they did the study, like I said, the ethnic background, the age, all of that wasn't taken into consideration. You really can't. The study was really not void. You know? Because I really believe there's some skinny people out there with this fibromyalgia. Now, the fact, I know there's some young girls who are not obese who has it. So I don't know, and like the article said, did they have the fibromyalgia before they became obese or did they have the obesity before they diagnosed the fibromyalgia? Something to think about. We will be bringing the subject back again for sure, without a doubt. Okay. What I want to do now is we're going to go back. I'm going to play some music
for a second here, and then we're going to go back and go reiterate what we talked about with fibromyalgia. I wish I had some numbers to call on here, which I usually don't like to do that, not having information to give you guys. But we'll go back over the symptoms. We'll go back over the pressure points, and we'll talk about, you know, what it takes to, you know, do what you got to do and find out if you have it.
Let's see.
Going to reiterate or kind of go over what we said fibromyalgia is. Fibromyalgia is muscle and connective tissue pain, which is a chronic widespread pain all the way through from the bottom of your, from the top of your head to the bottom of your body, because it affects your headaches and also affects headaches. That's symptoms. Let's talk about the symptoms of fibromyalgia real quick here. I'm going to get having all this tape posts, reading all this stuff. Let me see. Okay. The symptoms for fibromyalgia is body aches, chronic facial muscle pain or aching, fatigue, irritable bowel syndrome, memory difficulties, and cognitive difficulties, multiple tender areas, the back of the neck, shoulders, sternum, lower back, hips, shins, elbows and knees, numbness and tingling, palpitations, reduced exercise tolerance, sleep disturbances, tension or migraine headache. Okay, there is no diagnostic test for fibromyalgia, and that's why it's considered an undiagnosed illness. We talked about the idea that some people don't want to say it's an illness. They're saying it's everyday life, which kind of teed me off. We talk about some of what it mimics. It mimics cancer, HIV, infection, cervical and lower back degenerative disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, depression, hypothyroidism, irritable bowel syndrome, Lyme disease, rheumatoid arthritis, and sleep disorders. These are all things that it mimics, so it has a place to hide under. There's not that many remedies to it, and the medications that they're pushing now is Lyrica. Cymbalta is another medication that deals with the depression, and because it also affects or part of your PTSD if you have post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm sorry. The chronic fatigue, it affects that. The sleep disturbances, your depression, your stress, anxiety, all of that connects with it. And like I said before, it's a feeling of your bones being pulled apart, and that's something you do not want to happen at all. To you. Okay. Because there is no cure for it, sometimes it's hard to deal with, but you have to learn how to. If you have any of those symptoms that I just said, I would please go to your doctor, get some help, start getting treated for it, okay? Next week, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I really don't. I haven't got a schedule. But just, like I say, stay tuned. But also keep in mind, because Blog Talk Radio, as of February the 1st, my time slot problems will be changing. I'm not for sure. I'm going to see if I can still keep my Thursday evenings at 8 o'clock. If I can't, I will let you guys know what my times are going to change to. But I thank you guys for listening to Chocolate Lady 64 at Blog Talk Radio. Just look forward to talking to you guys next week. Have a great weekend. Happy Martin Luther King's birthday day, which is Monday. Celebrate it. Enjoy it. I know a lot of you guys are going to be off from work. Enjoy it to the max, okay? And just look forward to listening or hearing from you guys next week. You know how to get in contact with me. You can catch me on Facebook, sensible64@yahoo.com. If you have any questions, our Xander Cherry at Yahoo is also another email that you can catch me at. You guys have a great night. Love you, and bye-bye.